Metro, just to save you. Ooh, yo, I give my all. Hey, just to save you, I give all of me. Yeah, I can hear you screaming out, calling me. It's my fault. Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my right, AP Keaton himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
I think in the future I'm going to change that up, and that's why I was confused this time. That's why I said so slow. To my left, G-Jump himself. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Here we go, Garrett. Maybe I'll change yours too one day. And with us also is our Mr. Hashtag Guest Host One.
Hello, this is Hashtag Guest Host One.
Who might be joining us next week. We'll know. Who knows, but... here we are with Wednesday Comics Podcast for the week of last week of June, beginning of July. America's going to celebrate another year in the books. July 4th.
Fuck yeah.
Tuesday. You know, it was 1776.
47 years ago. Yeah,
that's Civil War. All right. But Revolutionary War, 1776. That's another, you know, 53 years until we're there.
The Templar treasure had just been buried. Little did you know, 200 years later, Nicolas Cage would arrive to dig it up.
God damn. Anyway, so it's going to be July soon. Once the Comics Podcast here this week, we're going to talk about a couple items. First up here, because we have our Spider-Man expert in the house, Mr. Hashtag SOS1, Mr. Hashtag Spidey boy. By the way, Corey, are you gonna get that Spider-Boy book?
Spider Boy book.
Oh my god.
Jeez, he doesn't even fucking know.
That's how far behind I am.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe I don't know. Do I talk about it? Do I not talk about it?
Is that what Miles is gonna be called?
Garrett, can you give him a quick little?
There is a event going on where. Basically, Spider-Boy...
Hold on, before you even finish that sentence, why does this sound like an awful idea?
Because it's kind of dumb.
Okay, continue.
But basically, there was a timeline where somehow Spider-Man had a sidekick named Spider-Boy.
And is it Miles?
No, it's not Miles. It's some other random person we don't know. It's a new character.
It's a new character.
Spider-Boy.
By Dan
Slott.
So
they did a Spider-Verse event recently. And after that was done, there's like Spider-Boy in 616, and he's like, how come no one remembers me?
Wait, who did you say this was by? Did you say what I think you said?
Yeah, Dan Slott. He's writing Spider-Man
again. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's writing it again.
Dumpster fire.
I wish that it wasn't Spider-Boy, but Spider-Lad.
Oh, so much better.
Spider-Lad would be good.
Speaking of the Spider Lads, we're here to talk about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which I think next week I have a hard time figuring out how to say. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie that came out very recently when you're listening to this. And the four of us have now seen it. That's what happens, you know, when you jettison yourself around this great, great country of 1776. Anyways, so we're in different locations. We all caught up with it now, and eventually we want to go see it. Alex saw it at a location probably west of him or east?
East of me.
Damn, I went west, and Corey went to go see it at... with Garrett.
Yeah, we went to... No, Corey saw it the first time.
I saw it in the cities, and then I saw it a second time.
Okay, the first time experience in Minneapolis in the... Land of a Thousand Lakes, Viking country. And then Garrett comes along, you know, cheesy, McGreezy, and he goes in and sees it in Wisconsin. I'm just saying this movie is, took a while for us to get all together to talk about it. So, Lord and Miller are producers and directors, I believe, maybe.
I don't think it's both brothers, though. Isn't it just one of them?
I think one of them, only one of them wrote it. No, I think they both wrote. I'll pull up the credits here. But what did you guys think of Spider-Verse?
It was phenomenal. I mean, what always comes to mind for me right away is the Spider-Man chase scene But not only that, I know I'm skipping. I'm doing the review horribly. I'm skipping to like the last bit of the movie. But when he jumps from the top of that train going up into the sky down to the bottom, and you see like the speed of the animation going by him as he's like all skinny, like trying not to hit anything. Some of the coolest animation I've ever seen in my life.
I think one of the things that sticks out from this movie is the beginning, is how much time we actually get with Gwen, and that this movie isn't just about Miles. It's not just about the different Peters or even Miguel O'Hara. It's also about the Spider Women as well. So you get Gwen and you get her time with her dad. I had one gripe with this movie, and it's only because I need subtitles when Spider-Man from Punk Rock City is on. I half the time can't understand what Hobie's saying.
Yeah, he does talk kind of like a, I don't know, drugged out real fast.
He's clearly too cool for me, and that's why I can't understand half the words.
That was the...
Hallelujah.
Yep. That was Mr. Mr. from Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya. Is he also, really? He's in Black Panther too, yeah. So his second entry into the MCU. Also, Haley Steinfeld played Gwen Stacy. Shameik Moore playing Miles. Brian Tyree Henry playing Jeff Morales. Jake Johnson, that was his Peter B. Parker. Oscar Isaac as Miguel.
Did Jason, incredible.
Jason Schwartzman as Spot. Fantastic. I even forgot about that he was in the movie, but when I think about it, though, fantastic. Setting up as an actual legit, going from fucking a comic relief to being a legit threat in a movie. Very hard to do. He does it. But actually, I need to, in the future, I'm going to get this wrong. Lord and Miller did not direct it. They just wrote it. The directors we have are Joaquin Santos, Kent Powers, and Justin Thompson. Three directors. For this movie. So in the future I'll forget that and say Lord and Miller directed it, and imagine if they made the Flash movie, and I'm gonna be wrong in the future. I'm guessing. Who knows? This movie, as I'll talk about in the future, was fantastic, and I don't know how they did it. It just like it doesn't make sense to me. You know, there's many mysteries in this universe. The pyramids, Big Bang, did it happen? What happened? And third thing, how did they make this movie? I don't know.
So good.
God, and for you to tell me, Corey, at one time, maybe in the future, that individual artists did each individual Spider-Man, and when you see it on screen, you can tell like all the styles are different. But that's even more amazing because then it's a very much a celebration of art, like in any form, and it just a good action movie in terms of. Filmmaking, it's amazing. Like this movie, I don't know how many tens you can give it for different things in it, but it's got it. I will say, if there's one thing that I understand why it has to happen because of the work that goes into this type of movie, but the one thing that is kind of disappointing is that it ends on a cliffhanger.
Baller cliffhanger, though.
Yeah, like, I know
it was great ending. I got that feeling in the last couple minutes. I was like, I know this is about to fucking end, and I just don't want it to. I was getting like
that's
sad.
That's what I was saying internally. I was like, I hate this. I hate that it's ending. Like, I love this, but I hate
I just
want
to stay in it. And I was like, I could just tell that it was about time to pull the ripcord. I was like, no! Especially with the bummer news that the next one's not coming out till 2026.
Well, like, so that was, that hasn't been, like, I found out that report that I sent is not officially confirmed, but it's most likely that's the case.
Wow. So long.
I think it's just weird to have gone from it coming out, March 2024, and then pushing it back another 2 years.
Yeah, I
could imagine it being that far out, but I guess maybe depends on what else they got going on for it.
Well, it's been 4 years between the first and this one, so, and, like, I'm going to see, like, you know, watching across the Spider-Verse and going back to Into the Spider-Verse, like just the leaps and bounds they've done in such a short time and like animation. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that next one could look like.
I was going to say Into the Spider-Verse, if you actually watch it, and I watched it recently after this movie, if you go back, remember at the time that movie blew my mind animation-wise, but if you look at it compared to this one, like it does look like a very simple form of what this movie ends up being like. So even in that aspect, it's amazing to see the jump. But I do, like I was saying, I do understand the cliffhanger and making it two parts because it's a lot of work to make one of these movies, and they actually were using the time between the first one being done to make the second one, and that's why they broke it up in two pieces. And so I think the reason why they're thinking about delaying it, Alex, you were saying from coming out next year to two more years from now, is to they were going to have like work them basically to the bone from now until it was done before they could reach that 2024 date. But they decided, hey, how about we treat them like humans and you don't have to work as fast. So I think so I think that was a major story last week. And I think that's why it got delayed, but if it gets delayed, it gets delayed. You know, if it's this, if it's this good, and I'm there the whole time being like, what the fuck? How do I don't understand it. Like I was saying in the future, like it was like you're there. And how does it, it's very rare that you can do that. When you do that in animation, it's magic. Like it's very hard to get somebody, like that's why a lot of people can't do animation or even give it a chance, is because they're like, I can't get into it because I know it's not real. And when they see real people, obviously, so to get sucked into an animation like this and to feel like you're there, like it's kind of almost what this movie does, but it's different kind of styles. It's like, yeah, we're all part of this together. So I don't know. I can go back and forth being like, I was entertained. And also I was like looking at the technical aspects and I'm blowing my fucking mind. And by the way, everybody in this movie, voice actor wise, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So some hidden gems that I didn't discover till after. So the Peter Parker of Gwen's universe, Jack Quaid.
Nice.
Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider. Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I knew that one.
I was like, oh God, that's so good.
The one that loves himself too much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did Josh Keaton play the Spectacular Spider-Man?
He did.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yep.
I'm looking at that right now, actually.
That's awesome.
Which I actually just started that show for the first time. I'm four episodes in. I've never seen it before. So
are you shitting me, Corey?
Huh?
Are you shitting me?
I am.
That is the
Mr. Never Seen Batman Beyond. Just hold back.
Who hasn't seen Batman Beyond?
Me. Alex.
Yeah, that's even worse.
No, do you be a Spider-Man fan to not see this?
I know.
That's the thing that blows my mind. I'm not a Batman Beyond fan.
You're a Batman fan.
I like Bruce. Bruce is my favorite, of course.
This is like Beyond the Spider-Verse. Brucey. Beyond the Batman.
Brucey.
Bruce is my number one.
If it's not Brucey, that man doesn't want it.
Mm-hmm. Brucey's there. He's there. But,
he's old.
He doesn't care about old man Brucey. He wants that prime age, baby.
Getting back on topic into and across. Mesh so well together, because there's one thing that I was waiting to mention that is the funniest thing ever. So in Across, where Jason Schwartzman's like, you threw a donut at me, and then you go back and watch Into the Spider-Verse when they run out of the building in the forest or whatever. Yeah. Miles turns around and throws the donut, and also you just see in the background, like way back there, is just this guy goes, ow! That's the spy.
I wanted to say that too, Corey. If you go back and watch that first movie, knowing what happens in the second movie, it's like they knew where, like, this was never going to be just one movie. And so like, there are moments like that where you're like, holy shit, like, now that makes sense. Like, there's a part where when the first Peter Parker, Spider-Man, sees Miles, and his spider sense at first is green and purple, and then it changes to red and blue, showing that because that moment happened, because he just got bit by that spider, it changed his future from being the Prowler to being Spider-Man instead. And that's what he saw in Miles. And that's what he gets scared. And like, what the heck? And then obviously that Peter Parker dies and it starts this road. But they said it from the beginning that that was not a spider of his universe. And so like, he was never supposed to get bitten. Like the spider, if you go back and watch that movie, glitches.
Right.
And when you know about glitching now, you know that that means it's not from that universe. And at that time, I don't remember ever having a second thought being like, oh, is that why is it glitching? But later,
right.
By the way, Yuri also did came in, Alex, to do the Insomniac Spider-Man that's in that one scene.
What?
The PS5 what? Spider-Man?
Yeah, I mean, I know Yuri Wraith. I get her. She's in the movie?
No, no. The guy who does the Spider-Man voice for the game.
Oh, okay. Yep. As I have. He's in between those two tunes.
So he does his voice in here, too. So.
Well, that's cool.
Video game Miles was there, but he didn't say anything.
I didn't. When was he there? When did Video Game Miles show up?
You're being serious. Like, I thought that was your joke.
No, I'm serious. The part where they're all starting to like gang up on him, like in the lab, like when he sees all the test tubes, he's like behind the video game Spider.
Wow,
so video game Spider-Man. Really? If you look to the lab,
I literally had a theory being like, there are other versions of Miles. Why would he show up here too? And I said, I made it in my head. I was like, oh, they probably didn't want to show another Miles because then it ruins that thing saying that he was never supposed to be Spider-Man. But right. I guess it could be that in some universes it is Miles, but just not that one. So I didn't even, that's why I thought you were fucking joking about
Marina Miles. I mean, this is the thing about the movie. You can see it 20 different times.
And supposedly it has different versions that say different.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So if you saw it initially before they fixed some audio issues, it says different things than when you're seeing it now. So, fantastic. I think, I forgot I was going to say something, but, whenever the next one comes out, I'm there. Oh, that's what I was going to say. How this one sets up for the future ones, and almost want you to go back and like re-examine this movie. And this is why they made YouTube, so I can wait for that video, 151 things you missed in this movie. And then I'll be like, oh, okay. So I can probably watch that, Garrett, and I'll see you the Miles. So is it?
The thing is, I was looking for that Miles, and I didn't see him.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
I saw him for just a second. Like just literally a second.
I didn't catch that either.
Well, okay. Well, I'm gonna watch that video and see if they talk about it. Shit, what was I gonna say now?
Sorry. I had the original Spider-Man from the comic book show up in my head where he can't catch anyone because he can't move.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, made me laugh out loud.
It's funny too. Like that's crazy that you can have a movie that once again checks all these boxes. And that's why I got to say, like, it's a fantastic movie. So that's a movie. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I don't know when it's coming out for you actually to own it because it's still in theaters because it's doing very, very well, which is great. I mean, I think we should celebrate this more kind of style. And that TMNT movie that's coming out in August, doing a different style too. So I think it sets a nice precedent to be like, hey, we don't always just need CGI. So,
right. Sure. With CGI getting worse and worse every year now.
Listen, Nicolas Cage looked real.
Listen, I got two words.
The CGI in The Flash was pretty rough.
The babies?
I got two words on who had the best
CGI. The rewrites.
You know who had the best CGI?
What's that?
What?
Rio Morales. And that's all I'll say about that.
Jesus. Nice.
Take a drink.
Sick. Yeah.
Scientist Sam agrees with me.
Well,
I mean, we're not saying
Sam on the show, and we'll talk about that.
Me and Garrett aren't saying we disagree. We're just saying you got to bring that up right now.
Yeah, come on, man. She's animated. She's too neat.
Listen, we talked about this before.
I've seen one post about it.
We talked about it before.
We talked about comic book characters before.
We talked about this before. I can't get into where you said she's attractive. I can't get into it if it's animated or drawn. I don't understand.
Hey, I didn't say any definitive adjectives or anything. I just said two words, and you guys took it where you took it.
Okay. So, the way you said it, though. Rio Morales.
Hey, if you know, you know. Am I right?
Speaking of bad CGI, yeah, those babies in Flash, horrible.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, let's not gloss over the fact that they stick a baby in a microwave.
Yeah. And Christopher, imagine you show that to somebody. Like, if we clip that out and it flashes putting a baby in a microwave, Alex would be like, "This is fake, right?" Like, anyways, I was gonna say, obviously, the next best CGI is Fantastic Four. So when that tank fucking just disappears, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, there we go, Corey. I think that's all we need your expertise for today. We can talk about something else really quick, but I don't know. Craven, all these movies getting. Oh, that's what we got to talk about. Your movie, it got canceled. The
what movie?
The wrestler Spider-Man movie thing.
Bad Bunny. What was it called?
Yeah, what was it called?
El Muerto.
Yeah, El Muerto.
Well, pun intended, because it's dead.
Adios.
Adios, muchacho.
Yeah. Well,
that was an even worse idea than the Kraven movie. So
hey, don't forget about Madame yeah. Webb. She's still out there.
Well, no. So the one movie that's going to turn it around is actually the Aunt May movie. So I'm still holding out hope. You know, maybe get Sally Field back. I don't know.
I'm hoping for an Aunt May movie, and then they announce that it's Claymation. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh man,
Claymation.
And it's a love story between her and Otto Octavius.
Claymay.
Claymay. Yeah, Claymay. Corey,
this is hashtag guest host one signing off. Sure. Stay classy, San Francisco. Make sure to subscribe to that platinum Patreon level. Remember, for the bronze level. Okay,
hey, get the fuck out of here is what he's trying to.
There you go. I played him off. I forgot I can kick him out. Damn it, that would have been better.
I was waiting for just to kick him out.
I do.
Like, see you later, San Francisco. Boop.
I was so set on, like, as I was like, oh, I got to play this again over him talking. Anyways, there we go. There's our Spider-Verse review. Look forward to the next one in 10 years, probably. Whenever it comes out, you know?
It'll be worth it when it does.
You know, that reminds me of, like, whenever something like that happens where there's a big gap or we don't know when the next one's coming out, I think about how Stephen King said the reason why he finished writing the Dark Tower series is because he would get letters from people being like, hey, like, I have cancer. I only have a year to live. Do you think the next one will come out before then? And it made him understand, being like, oh, some people like are never going to see the end of this story. And that's the only thing I think about whenever they announce like a movie that's a part two that's like way far out. It's like, some people are only going to see this first part. Never see the second part. So.
Oof. I don't, that's depressing.
Why did you get so fucking dark? Alex, Jesus Christ,
you brought
Christ,
the dark tower.
I've been playing for like 30 seconds.
No. Well, hold up. That was Alex mimicking my voice. That was
amazing. I am a very good actor, guys.
God, he was so good. Here we go. Animal Man number 6 is part of our book club right here.
Yep. Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents.
Jeff Lemire, Travel Foreman. John Paul Leon, I think, in this issue too, of Animal Man.
In the 6? Beginning, yeah, I mean most of it, yeah.
It was 6, all right.
Issue 6,
yeah.
It kind of starts as a flashback to when he was an actor, and showing one of his movies. So we get a little bit of that, and then it kind of shows you that it was a little Cliffy was watching it. And then the phone dies, and we kind of get almost like a conjoining bridge from this first arc into the second arc of them going to find the Swamp Thing. But I remember reading when this first came out, Alex, years back, and Garrett, you can listen to, when it first came out, is that I remember thinking, too, like, whenever they have these one-off issues in between arcs, you always get like, ah, this could be bad, this could be fucking horrible, and they're usually, you know, you got a 70% shot it's not gonna be good, because it's hard to write a one issue like this where it has to be self-contained but also connect one and two arcs, but I remember thinking at the time that this was great, and I think it still is. I think the art's fantastic. The guest artist on this issue does a good job of making it look different, and then when we get jettisoned back into actually like what the story is going on, I still was like, God, I want to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, what was kind of throwing me out of it is because I thought this was just a telling of like Animal Man, like not a video that Cliff's watching. So when they started calling the son Jamie, I was like, I thought the son's name was Cliff. So I was like totally sucked in. Like I was, so
you know,
stupid.
What, Garrett? I mean, mostly connected brainwashed or something like that. Because when I first started reading this, I go, I should send Garrett a text and remind him this isn't actually Animal Man's past. This is him in a movie because he used to be an actor.
Yeah.
And it's one of his movies. Because I did think of that too, because I got a little bit of like, I had to correct myself. And I was like, oh shit, I should remind the guys.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it was fun for what it was. I think, you know, the last couple pages where we were like taken out of the movie and then like it's getting back to the plot. Kind of like, okay, so it was a little filler, but it was like fun to see, like the story itself, like within the movie, was compelling and like interesting.
Yeah,
so
that's what I thought.
I think
Go ahead.
I mean, I think the interesting thing is that it's meant to be that calm before the storm. Cliff is just trying to escape the shitstorm that was chasing him down the street. And then to have the phone die on him, he now gets, like you said, thrown right back into the fray. And they even converse about going, well, I think we outran all those rabid animals. And the totem cat says, hey, you know, we need to go find Alec because he is already dealing with the rot as well, which currently in Swamp Thing he was, you know, issues 1 through whatever it was, I guess like 17, 20 almost, halfway through the book. This was a good issue. It's a nice reminder of what was going on and that there are still hopefully fun things for these guys to do and get lost into. But I remember the first time I read the issue, yeah, I forgot, even though it says Buddy Baker stars in Tights, that's what it was. The name of the movie or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because what is he? The Red Guardian.
Red Thunder.
Red Thunder gets the shit beat out of him. I don't know why it made me laugh, even though it's not really a funny situation. And it's not really, it kind of almost shows you in a way, it's trying to mimic what's happening now. And almost as you stated, Alex, like the fears that Cliff is having, because if you think about it, like he's the only one in this situation that has the least to do with it and has the least worry about it. But after what happened in the last issue where he almost got killed, I think now he realizes it's serious and he's just being like, I don't want to be here right now. So it's a good issue because it does set everybody up. Everybody's, you kind of get like reset in where everybody is emotion wise and motivation wise. And then the next issue will come out and be like, okay, here's a reset. Like that's basically your recap page. Just that little 4 or 5 pages of the actual story. So that was good. And I like that they include that in the first trade. So I like it. Whose turn is it next?
It's mine.
Garrett, what is going to be the, what's the name of the club?
Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People, proudly presents I, Vampire, Volume 1, Tainted Love, written by Joshua Hale Falkov and drawn by Andrea Sorrentino. You know, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, and like, I don't know why, but I'm just like having so much fun being in the early stages of the New 52. So I'm like, let's stay horror, but let's go somewhere that, I mean, I definitely read this. I'm not sure if Marvin and Alex, you guys did ever.
Nope.
But let's go on a journey and learn about Andrew Bennett. And, you know, I guess here's the tagline, you know, they mix horror with superheroes, one of DC Comics' most exciting new series. So it's Volume 1, Issue 1 through 6. I could have gone with Swamp Thing, but I was like, I think you guys are pretty more familiar with it. And like, if it was like Volume 2 of Swamp Thing, like after Volume 1 of Animal Man, I think it would have made more sense to move on to that. But it's like, let's keep it weird. Keep it I, Vampire. And yeah, that's where we'll start out.
Bro.
What?
When you said I, Vampire, God, I even forgot. You were like ramping up. What were you saying? Never mind. You said something. I thought you were going to say something very inappropriate and you didn't say it. And I was like, why the fuck would he say that? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that's a good pick. It's a good pick. I did, I believe, read the first couple of issues. I knew it was a thing that you sticked along with throughout that. So I'm excited. Let's get back into this. Sorrentino, as you said, actually, it is nice to go back to this period because I think for especially the four of us, so one being the guy who got off the phone a little bit ago, but I think it holds this time in comics holds a special place in our hearts. And I think that it when you I just remember reading these when we're all excited for like this specific thing when we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that it's some way making me look at this work with rose-colored glasses because I would shit on it the first chance I get. That's my energy. I take it. No, I'm just kidding. But I would call it out if it actually did change. But I think this is fantastic. Animal Man was fantastic. I think I, Vampire, let's go back. I remember this getting praise at the time. My buddy was telling me also getting fantastic. And I said, you know what? 2 issues, I'm out. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe I never read them. Maybe I bought the first 2 and I was just like, I haven't read these last 2, so I won't buy it again.
But I think it'll be fun to see Sorrentino back then because that was my first exposure to Sorrentino as I, Vampire. So to go from there to where we're at today, kind of fun
what
to
was
see
the writer
too.
Again?
Maybe it's the same. Joshua Hale Filekov.
Here we go. I want to say, what's he done since then? Echoes, no looks idea. Like. I Vampire, The Bunker, a movie. And it's called Infected. So there's that. All right. Well, yeah. That's the person I remember at the time. He did some, did some Ultimates work. And then kind of that second stage of the Ultimates before they decided, pull the plug in this motherfucker. I'm excited. We're going to read it. Alex, is that one of the ones you purchased?
I have not purchased it. I was going to buy it 2 weeks ago, and it actually got beat out on it on the old eBay. So I'll read it here, and if I like it, then I'll go ahead and buy it.
Good. And next time you're on eBay and one's up there and you're bidding for – actually, anytime you're bidding for anything, if somebody outbids you, you tell me about it. I'm going to go over there and straighten shit out.
I thought, that's not what I was expecting you to tell me. So.
Anybody, this is a warning right now on eBay. If it says Pastrallo, you keep moving. Does it say Pastrallo or does it say what name?
It's like Keaton.
Oh, okay. If it's, you see Keaton on there, I don't even care if it's Harriet P. Keaton. Walk away. Walk away. They got free range on eBay. There you go. Guys, I've been attending the show here. I just want to do a little few little mini reviews. I read that Avengers number one. By Jed. You know the person you loved on Moon Knight?
McKay.
Jed McKay.
Jed McKay. I don't think it's for me.
That's the biggest bummer about Marvel. Every time I thought about it, Marvin, I was like, because, we always say we want to read a Marvel team-up book like Avengers. And I go into it, and I'm like open-minded, and then it's just bullshit. It's just not a good story. It's not entertaining.
I was thinking about it today. I was like, why not? Like, it doesn't. Here's a couple of reasons why I can say off the bat it didn't work for me. But they weren't killers at all of them not being able to get this right for like the 15th time. But here's one thing that I didn't like. It's very much like the structure of that first issue is very much like every single first issue of a new team. And it's like, God damn, can somebody quit writing? Like, people are tired of origin stories. I'm tired of origin team stories. Like, don't have
right, this. Like, get them on like their 12th mission or something. Just go.
Yeah, I know. You know what this one happens? They pick Captain Marvel as the team captain.
Oh, my God.
And then basically when it. This is how they do in the Avengers. I don't know if you guys know this shit. No matter who's in the fucking world, they all vote on who the captain's going to be. And then she's the captain of it all, which is fine if it's her. I actually understand that. But then she basically has to go around and pick her Avengers. I guess the team captain almost gets to reset the Avengers. Didn't know that happened. And so she resets it. And so the issue is her going to people and asking them to be part of the Avengers while they're fighting in the future. They're fighting this robot. And I was just, not a robot, but whatever. It doesn't matter what they're fighting. But still, I was like, this happens every, this is, I feel like I've read this comic a million times. And that was a disappointing thing, because you think that Jed is a rising star and would, do something a little different. But then it made me think about this, Garrett. How much room does he have? If you keep failing with these fantastic writers, it has to be some sort of direction from up top to be like, make it like this.
Yeah, it
feels very clean, sanitized. Like,
but I feel like the last time they had a good Avengers writer was Jonathan Hickman when he did Avengers and New Avengers.
You know why?
He drove shit off the edge and made it weird. And now they felt like, well, we got to rein this back because the movies aren't that ridiculous. We need it to be like the movies so that people want to go see the movies.
You know why? Also,
shit about the movies.
That was the last time. That was the last time that it was exciting because it wasn't the same shit as you obviously them fighting some big. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say this. It ends with King of the Conqueror showing up.
Oh my God!
Oh shit! Yeah, I wonder why. So, by the way, the team is Captain Marvel. I wonder why. You have a movie coming out? Yeah, probably. Two, Black Panther. Captain America.
Is it Shuri or T'Challa?
T'Challa. The Falcon as Captain America. And she goes, I need a Captain America for my team. And she goes, and they're like, who? Which one of us? And she's like, she wanted somebody who was human. That's her saying, so people can relate to the team. Like, all you know, those humans.
Oh, my
can...
God.
Anyways, besides that point. Black Panther, Thor, Scarlet Witch, and Vision. And I was like, you cannot pick a more movie MCU safe team than this team. They all have shit coming out in the next couple of years. And it feels very much like they have to be in the team. You have to tell it this way. You cannot stray from this. This is for this is marketing for future movies. This is not content for you to make. And that Hickman thing,
so boring.
And the Hickman thing, even if you even think back to it, even though the first issue is a lot like this, it's them recruiting people, but they set it up with that wheel and you didn't know what it meant. And when he goes to people, like it's telling you like they have a specific place on the team, and then they end up as a smart superhero would do if you had a group, instead of being, hey, only the six of us, that story is about everybody that they can get in the Avengers and get on the same side, and still it's not enough. That's why that's good.
Yeah, these ones, they, you know what's going to be bad when they have to assign a captain, like assign a leader of the Avengers in the first issue.
And I don't understand
every time
why
they do that, I'm like, it sucks.
I don't understand also why they're like kind of competing. The event, all the superheroes are competing. Not even competing. They just know that they're up for a vote. And so when she comes by and say, you're part of the Avengers, it's like she's making a fucking starting lineup of, and that's the only people who could ever, like, it doesn't make sense. If I was a superhero, I don't fucking care if I get picked or not. Give me your communications. Put me on the same comm lines. Like, let's work all together. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
I'm surprised that there wouldn't be a Spider-Man on that team. There's not a Ghost Rider on that team.
No,
I get some of these other characters fit that same spot. I mean, you've got Scarlet Witch, so she's in that mystical realm. You've got Vision does the tech shit. But there's no... I'm sorry. That Captain America is not relatable for me either. He still flies. Yes, he's human. But where's just like, I don't know. Where's Luke Cage? Where's Iron Fist? Where's like some more street level guys as well?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing too. That's what I don't understand when she's like, I need somebody who's just a regular human. And she goes to Falcon. I was like, there's a million other people.
Yeah. Wow. And why can't he be Falcon? Like, why can't he be cool as Falcon? You know, it's like, that's the awkward thing too. It's like, hey, if Sam in the comics right now was like, I'm kind of like Miles and Peter, where they're like, hey, we're both Captain America, I respect it. But when it's like, well, I'm Falcon now, but I'm going to jump into the captain suit to fit your needs, Captain Marvel. I'm like, that's where I'm like, that's a little weird.
I'm surprised that T'Challa was the Black Panther and they didn't have Shuri be the Black Panther.
She gets brought up in the comic. They say you're not even the real Black Panther anymore. That's your sister.
Oh, gosh.
So in this universe, yeah, she is currently the Black Panther. He's an outcast in this when they go find him.
Wow.
Which also, like, I don't, like, I'm just like, the Black Panther that I love, when he spoke in this comic, empty. Didn't even feel like that guy. It's harsh to say for a first issue, but I think, like, with these Avenger things, you got one shot to grab me. That's it. It's the same old. I will say this, and this was supposed to be kind of a rapid shot. We had way too much into Avengers than I wanted to. but I think it's important because we talk about it all the time. I would read more of Marvel stuff, but it seems like there's a lot of editorial. Too much.
I think the last time I read a good T'Challa was from that Ultimates book that I think it was Al Ewing and Rockefeller did the art for.
Good. Yep, that was good.
That was a good team book.
Right. I don't know. And the art's fine. And it's also an artist that I enjoy. I forget who it was, but Russell Dodderman, I think. Somebody who I enjoy from his work on Thor, but also it doesn't look it like the colorist is always like the same, trying to make the same type of art. No matter who is the artist, it somehow all looks the same when I know they don't all draw the same because I've seen it differently before. That's what it looked like.
Like the bright colors and bouncy like, shapes.
And more, hard lights to make it look like a cartoonish. Like when I say cartoon also, I don't mean animation. I mean Saturday morning cartoonish.
Yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Got it. Anyways, Wild's End, I got that too. That was good. You would enjoy the axe. Did you get that?
I'd have to check. I don't know if I put it on my list or not.
It's animals talking. They live in a little town.
I'm pretty sure I put it on my list.
You got a badger trying to get together with a rabbit. I don't know if that's true, if that can happen. But
not anatomically, but I guess if he wants it, I guess he's going to have it.
There is, I don't think it's a mole. It's some sort of rodent that he's definitely left in here. She's like, you got to tuck him out right here. The animation's good. The art is good, and the story by Dan Abnett is what I would expect from him. It's nice and fluffy and nice little story. So there you go, Wild Zen. Next week, I'm going to try to catch up with Hickman's Ultimate Invasion, the story that's launching the Ultimate Universe, and see how this shit goes.
And I'm going to pick that up too. So I'm like, who knows? Aim for the bushes.
Who knows? And you know what? Let him get his ideas out, because I need to finish. He needs to go back and finish this Black Monday Murders.
He needs to finish X-Men. He needs to finish everything that he's promised in the last 5 to 10 years.
He is like the Guillermo del Toro of comics.
Yeah, no joke.
When he does something,
Greg Rucka is shortly behind him.
When he does something, it's fantastic. But motherfucker, pick something and finish it, or like, get it to the end.
He creates these grand arcs and then just never finishes them, unless it takes 10 years.
God, where? He was supposed to be making The Hobbit. Didn't happen. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Just like Jonathan Hickman's supposed to be finishing my Monday Murders. I gotta know what's going on. I think, did he end
just
on the best
four
issue
issues
too?
Left, right?
Yeah. Come on.
No, I thought the best issue was that script issue in issue 5.
What was the last issue that came out?
I don't know. A million years ago?
Anyways, Jonathan Hickman, let me know. You know what? If you actually just have the scripts, send them my way. WednesdayComics605@gmail.com. Send them my way, and I'll read them, and I'll give them to these two here, but we won't let it leave the circle. Don't worry. I just need to know. Alex will even help you draw them, if that's a concern.
I can do it. I got it.
WednesdayComics.com. It's the website. You can subscribe to the show. That's all we had planned on the docket today, but you know, these shows, we're going to mix it up more. You're going to get more of a what do you call those candies that you fill up? Bach, or what's it called?
You know, what? You know, the candies that you throw up?
No, that you put in a bag individually and you weigh it, see how much it costs.
Oh, Brocks, yeah.
Brocks, okay. These episodes are more of the Brocks Wednesday Comics. You can get in, not know what you're going to get. You know, throw a little movies in, throw a little comics in, throw a little mini reviews in. See, Alex... you know, how's the packages coming? And the comics, brother.
Oh God, I thought, what are we talking about now?
Oh, I'm always excited when you get your package. I'm like, is one of them going to be broken or not? Not that I wanted to, Alex.
No, I, you know that I get paranoid about that every day.
But it does lead to good stories on this podcast, and so sometimes.
Is Wild's End like a 5 issues out already?
No, I think the first one just came out.
Oh, it must be there must be a new arc or a new reboot coming up. Because I'm looking at it right now. There's issues 2, 3, 4, number 1.
Is it by Boom? Abnett? Boom Studios?
Maybe this isn't Boom. No, this came out in 2015.
Yeah, no, this is new.
Okay.
I'll show you the cover here in a second. But what was I saying, Alex? Before you, oh, your comics,
packages.
Yeah. So you know,
packages.
Just like that, when that water fell on your comic, and
dude,
it led to a story in the show. So, any comics be ruined lately?
No. I've been pretty good. Probably, I haven't dropped anything. Although I still remember my Batman number 14 has my fingerprint stuck on it from new. When did Joker take over? Must have been New 52.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember
oh.
That.
Villains.
Death of the Family.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember that, Alex.
Number 14, he's looking at all the screens.
Yeah.
My left fingerprint is on my book.
All these years. Why don't you run a little cleaning product on top of there?
Yeah, dude, it's glossy. You could just, like, take a little microfiber cloth and wipe it.
I don't know.
That's back when all I know is, all I know is though, if Alex ever goes missing, we got his fingerprint somewhere. So,
yeah,
you know, keep that on there. Actually, that's actually
and that number 14 is boarded and bagged, so it's pristine. Take it out.
Also, by the way, if someday if you want to, donate to the show, Alex will actually give you that copy so you can, impersonate him. So, go on.
Making promises I don't intend to keep.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you don't do that on your water planets, but we do. So, WednesdayComics.com, as I said before, visit our sponsors, RootsToTheSwampThing.com, RootsToTheSwampThing.com, and Rainbow, ComicsAndCards.com, RainbowComicsAndCards.com. That's where Alex would go if he did sell that issue with his fingerprint and brought a brand new copy. He would go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Or actually, he would go to the store, probably.
I actually need to go because I didn't realize Turtles 140 came out.
Damn.
Yeah, falling behind.
Damn.
I was doing, I didn't want to do too loud, but like Raphael in the first movie, when he loses against Casey Jones.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Saw at the State Theater over here in our neck of the woods. Top 10 experiences in the movie theater. By the way, the movie's fucking dark, by the way. Don't bring your kids. They're going to ask why kids are smoking cigarettes and shit, so. Oh, did he get squished in there? Nah, he's just with the trash.
Jeez.
But when you think about it.
Yeah.
In the first
murdered, so.
In the original first issue, the Turtles murder the Shredder, and at the end, like the last page, Leo throws the Shredder's decapitated arm into the trash, so
it's a little throwback, if you will.
Boom.
There we go.
Both puns intended.
Oh, man, I'm gonna cut, you cut off your arm. But you know what? Still part of this country, 1776, July 4th. So put your John Hancock on it and
whoa.
Oh, you mean your Herbie Hancock?
Yes, I don't put my hand on a cock at all.
Whoa! Wow, yeah, because
that's because his arm's decapitated. Didn't you hear him?
I tell you sliced. What, that is one of those names I'm always so uncomfortable to say is Hancock.
All right.
It's Hancock, not Handcock.
Yeah. It sounds fucking
sick. So when that Will Smith movie came out, Alex was like, holy shit, I hope nobody wants to rent this at this establishment. Oh, you guys got any Hancock?
Hancock? I think you need to go to a different place to that movie.
Oh no, that's playing at the mini mall around the corner. That's hidden behind some trees.
Hey, you got any Hancock back there?
That's the photo shop you're looking for.
There we go. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, dollars, baby, 20. Wait, no, Jefferson's on the what? 5.
Jefferson's on the nickel.
God.
Who's on the five? Lincoln. That's what I was thinking about. Jefferson.
Everyone's gonna be fucking pissed at you now. He's also on the $2 bill. Jefferson.
Oh, maybe that's what. Anyways, for Wednesday Comics, my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone! Enjoy that 4th of July. Keep all 10 fingers and toes on your hands, and keep turning those pages so you don't get blood on. America, fuck yeah.
That's awesome.